All right, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that as we come before you today, you quiet down our hearts and you help us to focus on you this morning and focus on the words that you'll be sharing with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start with a story. I remember when I was in the army, I was put through a rigid diet. It meant that they calculated the amount of calories we have, the amount of carbs we have, the amount of protein. Everything was calculated for us. Okay, I went through carefully planned physical trainings. So the extent of the planning went this way. So the number of sets we did, the type of exercises we did, the number of laps we ran, and the timing for each lap we have to run. So all of this were all calculated for us. And each part was so carefully considered and thought out. And they measure it out such that they maximize the amount of effort we have. Not just maximize the amount of effort, but maximize the amount of recovery time. So that was how important physical fitness was to us. And we spent a lot of time conditioning our bodies. We put in a lot of effort into maintaining our peak physical abilities. But not only our physical beings were being taken care of, our mental and emotional well-being were of concern to our trainers as well. So they would schedule a meeting with us one-on-one. How are you doing? Are you feeling sad? This is what they would do to us to care for us emotionally. And if we were sad, they would send us for counseling sessions with counselors. Or if you really, really felt very bad, there was a hotline that they gave us that you could call to get some emotional help. So if we were sick, we were sent to the doctors. If you were feeling emotional, we would be sent to the counselor. So my training in the army, it seems to be that what it means to take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally. And the reason for this is that they want us to be ready. They want us to be ready for what? There's no threat visible. But the thing is, you never know when it's going to come. They want us to be ready for deployment. They want us to be ready to fight off in case Malaysia or Indonesia decides to come and invade us one day. So this is for us to be ready. And for most of us, we would spend both money and effort to maintain our bodies, maintain our minds. And if we're out of shape, we would take the effort, I'm going to go on a diet today. The truth is, diet always starts tomorrow, not today. But we would watch our diet, we would spend time exercising, we would join a gym. There are many things we would do. And if we are sick, we would go and see a doctor. We would put on a mask. We would use hand sanitizer. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to fall sick. And in light of what's happening around the world right now, we avoid going to crowded areas. Whenever we walk into a new place, we use hand sanitizer. We make sure that we are healthy. And there are many things that we would do to ensure that we are mentally and emotionally healthy. If you're feeling sad, you will go and see a counselor. You would talk to someone about your problem. You would look at different ways to help yourself. You will look at self-help books. So these are some things that you would do, right? But among of all the different things that we have and all the times that we spend on taking care of ourselves, there might be one thing that we neglect to take care of, and that's our souls. We often neglect to take care of our souls. And when we do not take care of our souls, we start to become negative. We start to groan, we start to grumble, and we start to lose ourselves. Last week, Pastor Gabriel, he introduced the series. He explained that the soul is the whole person, the unity of the body, organ, and breath. It's all of it together. The soul refers to all of us, our whole being. And the soul is the carrier of breath of life that was given to Adam by God. And our soul is that container for God's breath of life into us. And in this series, the soul workout, we look at how we can make sure that our carrier is fit to face the trials. We look at how our carrier of the breath of life that is within us is kept alive. We look at how we can take good care of our souls. We look at how we can train our souls that we will be able to be ready for spiritual combat. The enemy is out there and he's waiting to strike. He's ready to strike when you're not fit. The enemy is like a virus wanting to attack you. And he wants to attack a system and exploit those loopholes when you're not ready. And his schemes are like virus or maybe even open combat. So that is why we need to train our carrier of breath of life and to train our souls. So Pastor Gabriel shared with us the first soul workout It's about tasting and seeing the God's goodness. He challenged us to reclaim our God-given senses, to turn away from evil and to side with God and do good. And this week, with the same coach as last week, we're going to look at Coach David. Okay, Coach David, he'll give us a different way to work out and keep our souls fit. And to continue my story of when I was in the army. So during that time, it was the start of my army life. My parents decided to bring my sister over here to start studying. So I was getting used to a new environment in the army. My stuff was being moved from my own place that was sold to my aunt's place. So I had to adapt to a new lifestyle, not just in the army, but at home as well. And that was when I was a recruit. So as a recruit, what happens is they beat you down, they tear you down. So basically, the whole experience was very negative. And at that time, even though I did not know it, I started to fall sick. Bit by bit, I started to groan. I started to grumble. But I had a positive thing going on in my life. I was good enough to be in the running for the best recruit in the company. But at the same time, that is when something negative happened. I was diagnosed with pink eye. So after a battery of tests and checks and everything, they realized one thing. It's not pink eye. You're allergic to gunpowder. That was what they told me. So as a soldier who's allergic to gunpowder and someone who's in the running for best recruit, what does it mean? It meant that I was taken out of training. When you're taken out of training, what does it mean? It means that I cannot vie for the best recruit award. And with that, all of it compiled into one thing and took away the thing that I was looking forward to most. When I started in the army, I wanted to aim to become an officer. But because of the pink eye, because of being taken out of training, because I am allergic to gunpowder, they said, sorry, you're not suitable. And they sent me elsewhere instead of officer school. Now, most of the time you would think, oh, he's allergic to gunpowder, so you will not send him to a combat unit where he has to hold a rifle and shoot guns. But no, they sent me to the special forces. They sent me to a combat unit. And that was when it all got worse. It started an avalanche in me, and I was like, huh. Well, looking back, I do wish that I could say that being sent there did wonders for me. But I'm sad to say, no, that did not. Because the training got tougher, expectations were higher, standards were higher, and when the standards were not met, the consequence to bear was a lot harder to bear. And during training, that was when I injured my knee. I tore my ACL, I had a bone contusion, and I had to go for an operation for it. And at that point in time, I was thinking, I have to spend 2 years in this place. Is that not enough of a torture for me? To not being able to see my family, to not having my freedom. What else did I do to deserve this? For someone who enjoys basketball and soccer and all kinds of sports, a knee injury meant that I was no longer able to enjoy it as much. Even though I've gone through rehab, the problem is still not fully fixed. I still suffer from knee aches, and at my age, I become a weather conduct. I know when it's going to snow, I know when it's going to rain because of my knee. Life during that time just seemed to mesh up altogether, and it progressively got harder to find joy in anything. Rehab did not happen in a six-month period where it's supposed to take time. I was given a time frame of 2 months. Get yourself ready to come back into unit after 2 months. So in view of all of that, how can I find joy? How can I be positive in that? And slowly I started to stop going to church. Because I thought, if everything is God's will, then whatever I've gone through must be God's fault. I started to blame Him. I started to groan. I started to grumble. And instead of going to God for strength, I stepped away from Him. I drew away from Him. Because I felt that even if God is there, He's not watching over me. And I was at that point in life where I felt that everything I want, everything that could help me was taken away. I felt like I was all alone. I felt that there's no one. I had no support in church. My parents weren't around. No one could understand me. I've forgotten everything that God has done for me. I've forgotten everything that anything that's positive from Him. And it got to a point where my pastor, he had to call my mom. all the way from Singapore. Hey, Doreen, is your son okay? I've not seen him in church for a few months. It got to that point. And I was spiritually ill at that time. So that's when I knew that my soul got sick and I became detached. I did not respond to texts, calls, emails, WhatsApp, whatever you can think of, any social media platform, I ignored it. Because I felt that that was the reason, God was the reason that I am in this mess. And all I could do was groan and grumble and groan and grumble. Well, some of you might have felt this way. Some of you might have felt that at this point of your life, there is nothing good. There's nothing worth remembering God for. And there's no goodness that God has ever given you. You might have felt that there is no end in sight. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Everything seems bleak. Everything seems negative. There's no positivity at all. And maybe, perhaps the only reason you are right here right now is because of habit. Maybe because your parents drag you off a bed, put you here. Maybe because your spouse asks you, hey, let's go to church. And out of habit, you drove, you got here, and you're seated here. And right now, you might actually be angry with God at all the sufferings that you are going through. And all this are signs that our soul, our carrier of breath of God, is slowly dying. And all this time that we are suffering, we might have started to forget what are the benefits that God has given us. We start to forget how God has provided for us. We start to forget what God has done. We might even have started to forget why are we even in church, or forget why do we even believe in God. And at that time, we become an empty husk, soulless, alone, and detached. Well, to me, physical sickness and being unfit is definitely scary. But what is even scarier is to be an unfit and empty husk, to be sick in the soul, to lose hope and slowly let the breath of life from God slip away. But there is hope. There's hope in the sense that we can do something to train our souls. We can help ourselves. There's something to help us to avoid becoming that empty and soulless husk. And reading the Psalms is one good way that can help us to train our souls. Psalms are one good way for us to train in prayer. Prayer is one way that can help us to remember God, to develop our spiritual discipline, enrich our spiritual lives, and even train us in prayer. So Psalms can help us exercise our soul by helping us to express thanksgiving, express praise, express worry, express sadness. And using the Psalms, we are training our souls to pray to God, to pray to God about His works, and to train us to remember the goodness of God. So King David, all right, our coach today, he wrote Psalm 103 as a way to train his soul. So to train his soul to remember what are the goodness that God has done for him, to train his soul to not forget who God is. And through this psalm, David tells us to train our soul to remember God. And there are three things that we should not forget. So let us look at verse 1 to 5. The start of it, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you, your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So the first thing is not forget what God has done for you. And specifically in verse 2 to 5, David reminds his soul not to forget what God has done for him. The key word is in verse 2. It says, forget not. David expressed that do not forget. Do not forget what? Do not forget all His benefits. God is someone who forgives your sins. God is someone who heals your diseases. He is someone who redeems you from hell. He is someone who crowns you with love and mercy. Someone who wraps you in goodness. And He renews you. So think of it this way. Think of it that at the moment of your greatest need, someone came along and He helped you out. Maybe imagine that you're sick. You're in the worst condition possible. You're about to die. And a doctor came along And this doctor, he healed your pain. He healed you. You recovered fully, recovered totally. And after you have recovered, would you forget him? Or would you be ecstatic that, oh yes, I am recovered? Would you go around telling people, or are you going to forget about it? Would you introduce this doctor to everyone you know? Everyone who is sick, and you tell them, hey, this doctor is really good. Go and see him. He helped me. I think he can help you too. Chances are you will not forget, doctor. Chances are you'll tell everyone how awesome this doctor is. And when you put this into perspective, God is this doctor. God is this doctor that healed you. And not only did he heal you, he redeemed you. For someone who saved you, will you forget who he is? Even in the dramas, they have scenes where the female lead falls in love with the male lead after the male lead saves her. If that happened in drama, what about our lives? Are you going to forget God who loves you? Chances are not. Chances are you will not forget someone who loves you. And this is one important exercise to train our soul. Just as when we go to gym, there are different equipments for us to train our body, not forgetting God is one way to train our souls. So back to the story of when I was in the army. So like I mentioned, in the army, you have to train your body to be fit. Okay, I could do push-ups, pull-up, and one of the things we had to do was to march 12 km in 108 minutes with 45 kg on your back. So it sounds easy, but actually it's not. 108 minutes is 1 hour and 48 minutes. So in an hour 48, you have to walk 12 kilometers, okay? So I did different exercises to train different parts of my body. So obviously, I did not get to that stage right away. I had to build it up slowly. I had to train my body, slowly increasing the distance, slowly decreasing the time for each km. And bit by bit, I trained my body's endurance to be able to finish the 12km match. But if I pushed myself too hard, I would turn out like some of my fellow mates in the video. So let us take a look at the video. So, it's the same for our souls, just like our bodies. If you do not push yourself, if you do not constantly increase the speed, if you do not slowly decrease the timing, there are sometimes you will just end up like that. You're going to break. So, to build up our soul's endurance, you have to use it. You have to constantly train yourself. And the second thing is to not forget about God's character. For verse 6 to 10, it reads, the Lord's work righteousness, and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. So verse 6 to 10, David, he clearly tells us that God's character that we can remember. He tells us about everything about God's character. David wrote about how God makes everything come out right. He wrote about how God helped us back on our feet. He wrote about God's mercy and grace, and how God is not easily angered, so full of love for us. He does not keep nagging or scolding you. He does not hold grudges forever. He does not pay us back the way we made our mistakes. But for someone like this, how is he not worth remembering? How is it that we can forget who God is? Most of us, if someone made a mistake against us, we would be holding a grudge. But that is not who God is. David, after telling us that despite we are not worthy of God's mercy and grace, we still have it. And that is the second reason that we can remember God for. And the third reason not to forget is that the love that God has for us. Verse 11 to 18 illustrates that, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As a man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness of children's children, and to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments." David, in his psalm, he expressed the love that God has for us. His love that is as high as the heaven is above the earth. His love that is as far as east is from the west. He feels for us. He loves us like a father loves his children. Will you forget someone who loves you? Will you forget your parents who love you? Not likely. So it goes the same for God. Do not forget his love for you. And at the end of the psalm, David tells us how we can train our soul. In verse 19 to 22, David tells us to bless the Lord. It says that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, and you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, bless his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. At the end of the psalm, David responds. David gives us a way to respond to the love, a way to train our souls so that we do not forget God. We can respond by blessing the Lord. And when David uses the word bless, what he's trying to say is recognize God in his characteristics described in the previous verses. Recognize that God blessed you. Recognize that God healed you. Recognize that God forgave you. Recognize that God, he loves you. But some of us might think, oh, that is easy to praise God when everything is good and positive. But when I'm in a bad place, how am I going to find it in myself to bless God and to recognize him? If you find it hard to find reasons to remember God, use Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a good place to start. It is like a guidebook. It's essentially the beginner's guide to remembering God. Because look at verse 6 to 18. David helps us by listing out the characteristics of God. And let us use that as a basis to look at all those characteristics of who God is. There's righteousness, justice, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, steadfast love, not always chide. Use that to train our souls to remember God and what he has done. It is simple as writing down on a notebook. That is where you can start. That's the first step. Take a notebook. On the top of each page, write down one characteristic of God. At the end of every day, when you take out the notebook, use 5 minutes. 5 minutes to think about your day. Write down the different things that happened to you in your corresponding page. It could be very simple. It's like maybe write grace at the top. And on 23rd of January, I thank God for His grace that I have a smooth flight. It could be on 27th of January, I thank God that I had a good time with my family. Or mercy, 26th of January, thank God for the sermon because through that sermon, I'm reminded of God's mercy. It can be as simple as that, just one sentence. Use this exercise to practice remembering. Use this chance to train yourself to remember. And use this as a way to note down the reasons to remember. Start with one reason a day. And after 10 days, you have 10 reasons. After 100 days, you have 100 reasons. And soon, you'll reach 10,000 different reasons to praise God and to remember God for who He is. And someday, when you reach there, that is how you can remember God's goodness. Taking a notebook to record is the first step. The next step is to refer to your notebook and tell someone. Look at all the different things that you have recorded in your notebooks. Look at it and tell someone. When it's oikos time, when your oikos leader asks you, hey, how was your week? Take out your notebook, flip through your week, and you realize, oh, I have so many things to remember God for, so many things you can thank God for. And when you tell someone, the more you tell other people of what you remember it even better. The more you do a certain action, there comes a certain day when it becomes a reflex. Why did Ip Man always practice with the wooden dummy before his fights? It is because he wants his actions to become a reflex. That is just how it is for us. Remember God, and that becomes a reflex. The more we tell others of God, the easier it is for us to remember. And it becomes a reflex. And if we want to be good at it, we have to constantly work on it. The longer you work on it, the easier it is for you to do. And when it gets easier to do, it means you're getting better at it. It's just like carrying weights. You don't start out at 20 kg right away. You start it at 5 kg or even less. The more you work out, the heavier you carry, the longer you carry. And that is how we can know that our souls are getting stronger. We can remain hopeful, we can remain joy, and we can remember the Lord for who He is. And we'll be able to recall immediately what He has done for us. And one day when we have that notebook, we will remember all that He has done for us. So let us start this exercise of remembering right now. As I read out the following section of verses, listen to the words. Spend the time remembering the characteristics of God. Think of that and recall all those things that God has done for you. As you listen, also think of all the good things that God has done for you and prepare your heart for communion. So let us close our eyes and listen to the set of following verses. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Oh, bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and ends forevermore. Let's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Let's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship,
I'll worship
Your holy name, Lord Jesus. I'll worship Your holy name.
Here's the charge and the blessing from God. Rejoice always, church. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. For there are too many reasons not to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And do not quench the Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He who calls you is faithful, and He will surely do it. Amen. So that concludes our worship service today, and we'll see you next week for a third sermon on the soul workout. See you next week.